You'll find today's reading on page 662. It's Proverbs 27, verses 1 to 17. 662 in your Bibles. Do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day might bring forth. Let another praise you, and not your own mouth, someone else's, and not your own lips. Stone is heavy, and sand a burden, but provocation by a fool is heavier than both. Anger is cruel, and fury overwhelming, but who can stand before jealousy? Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. He who is full loathes honey, but to the hungry even what is bitter tastes sweet. Like a bird that strays from its nest is a man who strays from his home. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his eternal counsel. Do not forsake your friend and the friend of your father, and do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away. Be wise, my son, and bring joy to my heart. Then I can answer anyone who treats me with contempt. The prudent see danger and take refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Take the garment of one who puts up security for a stranger. Hold it in pledge if he does it for a wayward woman. If a man loudly blesses his neighbor early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. A quarrelsome wife is like a constant dripping on a rainy day. Restraining her is like restraining the wind or grasping oil with the hand. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray, shall we, when we come to look at this subject. Father, thank you for your amazing grace, your amazing kindness to us. We thank you for your kindness in giving to us friendships. Please help us as we look at this subject this morning to show your grace to others, to receive it from others, and to encourage one another. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's not often that we have a talk on friendship. In fact, I suspect it's not often that we take some time to think about this subject at all. Other kinds of relationships we think about a lot, but not so much this one. The book of Proverbs, however, has quite a lot to say about it. And would suggest that we are therefore a bit unwise to not think about it very much. C.S. Lewis, the Christian writer, put it like this. He said, "To the ancients, friendship seemed the happiest and most fully human of all loves, the crown of life and the school of virtue. The modern world, in comparison, ignores it." Well, it's beyond us this morning to explore the reasons why the modern world ignores it. But the chance we have in the book of Proverbs is to slightly redress the balance, to present to us God's vision, his wisdom on friendship. Now, with a number of people gathered together like this, of this size, I expect our experiences of friendship will be quite varied. So maybe there are some of you here who would say, "I have lots of friends, and I have some close friends." Well, if that's the case, I hope that Proverbs will help and challenge you to ask, are you being a good friend to those friends? And it will ask, what's the quality of those relationships? Are your friends actually just a big list of people on Facebook? You exchange a few words, you occasionally put the tick to say you like something that they've said, but actually There isn't much quality face-to-face, real interaction. Others here, however, might be thinking, I don't actually think I have many friends. And maybe this is because of time and energy have gone into other things, work, moving around the country a bit, family, and good friendships just never seem to have had the chance to grow. Well, if that's the case, Proverbs might just offer us, I hope, a bit of an encouragement and also a challenge to our wisdom and priorities. Or maybe you just feel like nobody wants to be a good friend to me. Well, whatever the situation, whatever your experience of friendship, I hope this little look at Proverbs will be of help, of comfort, of challenge. At the very least, it gives us, I think, a picture of what good friendship looks like. How can we be good friends to others as far as it lies in our power to do so? Well, in our look at Proverbs these last few Sundays, we spent the first three, if you remember, in the first nine chapters, the kind of introduction to the book. And we saw there an introduction to wisdom, to God's wisdom. We saw that God's wisdom is practical. It's to do with how to live skillfully in his world. We saw that his wisdom stands behind his world. We've seen that it begins with the right view of God, the fear of God. And we've seen that it's a great gift with many blessings. And we've been implored, haven't we, to choose it, to seek it. And partly that is because in this world there is another path, the path of folly, which looks attractive but actually is deadly. Well, having given the invitation, Solomon, in the main section of this book, from chapter 10 onwards, is giving us detail of wisdom. And it's mainly in the form of these pithy little sayings, these little sort of couplets that we had in our reading. Now, there's some structure to these sayings and the way that they've been put together, but many of the themes of Proverbs are spread throughout the book, like the theme of friendship. So although it's usual practice at St. Mary's to take one reading and to sort of dissect it, if you like, and open it up, the aim this morning is a bit different. We're rather going to look at one theme, friendship, and see the strands throughout the book of Proverbs. So it's a bit more challenging, perhaps, but I hope it's helpful. To help us, I've put on the handout an outline. And you can see there the six letters of friend. That's the structure to it. Yes, I've worked really hard trying to do this. The online thesaurus came in handy, I have to confess. But the question I want to ask is, what is a good friend? What is a wise friend? Well, the first four letters give us a portrait, I think, of a good friend. Let's have a look, shall we? First, Proverbs tells us a good friend is faithful. Is faithful. This book draws for us a contrast between the faithful friend and the fair weather friend. So Proverbs 19, verse 4. Wealth brings many friends, but a poor man's friend deserts him. Or 19, verse 6. Many curry favour with a ruler, and everyone is the friend of a man who gives gifts. Proverbs is observing the world and seeing that the rich and powerful find people attracted to them. But it also points out that these friendships are likely to be fair weather friendships. Got a little bit of experience of this myself. Not that I've ever been rich or powerful. But in my first year at university, in the first few months, I spent quite a bit of time with two fellow medical students, Tom and Ronnie. They were a good laugh, and I thought we had the makings of good friendships. One of the things we liked to do, or rather they liked to do, was to come around to my room and watch my telly. I was one of the few people who had a telly in those days at university. We watched The X-Files, Match of the Day, Top Gear, those kind of things. And also, before I left home, Mum and Dad bought me a really nice cafetiere, so I had good coffee as well. Great combination. But after a few months, sadly, Tom and Ronnie found other people that could offer them better things, and they moved on. It was hard, actually. It was very hard, and it was a realization that they were fair weather friends. But the true friend, says Proverbs, is constant, is faithful through the good times, when there's good things to come out of it, and through the hard times. Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Or the verse I've put on the sheet, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. In the Bible, one of the best examples of friendship like this is that between Jonathan and David in the book of Samuel. Jonathan is a loyal friend, a true friend. He sticks with David even when there is huge danger to his own life from King Saul, his father. Or an example from literature. I'm a bit of a fan of Tolkien. And Tolkien was a man who in his life valued friendship. And you see it in The Lord of the Rings, if you've read it or watched it. True friendship is one of the central themes of that book. Think of the fellowship of the ring, those group of friends. Or think in particular of Sam and his friendship to Frodo. Sam is a faithful friend through thick and thin. When someone else, Gollum, tries to poison the friendship, he is loyal. When Frodo's attacked or captured or too exhausted just to go on, Sam remains the faithful friend. And perhaps Sam is the hero of the whole book, a faithful friend, a brother in adversity. So there's the first mark of a good friend, constant, faithful. But then second, R is for real. Proverbs 27:6 on your sheet. Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses. Or Proverbs 27:5, better a rebuke uncovered than love hidden. Proverbs again draws a contrast for us, it's very good at doing that, between the real friend who is open, who is willing to rebuke, and the false friend who is a flatterer, who says nice things to your face, but behind your back is actually an enemy. An enemy, it says here, multiplies kisses. Just think of Judas, betrayed Jesus with a kiss. But the real friend is real with you. He's honest and straight. Honest to the point of rebuking when that is necessary. In my experience, that kind of friendship is rare. I wonder if you have a friend who is willing to do that with you, or you're willing to do that with them. It's not an easy thing to do or to be on the receiving end of. But the person who loves you enough to be real with you like this, well, that's a true friend. I've got one friend who lives about 30 miles from here, and every couple of months or so, we catch up and have a drink. And it's so valuable because he is one of the few people who can sort of sit me down, look me in the eye, ask how things are really going, and then be willing, not just to ask the hard questions, but to say some hard things back. It's not always easy, but it's a huge blessing. I sometimes think our sort of British or English culture doesn't help us to be real like this. We're often just a bit too polite, aren't we? Perhaps our culture just needs to hear the wisdom of Proverbs. It's the mark of a true good friend to be willing to rebuke. As I was preparing this, I thought, friend without the R in it is a fiend. Not very funny, but there we go. The challenge is, are you friends enough with anyone to be able to receive or to give rebuke when needed? A good friend is real with you. Then third, a good friend is interested. Now, in Proverbs, you see this kind of interest portrayed in the way that a good friend you display such an interest in you that they want to give counsel. They want to find out how things are going and then share their wisdom with you. We're not talking about sort of trite know-it-all comment, but earnest counsel that is both affirming and challenging. Look at the verse down there on the sheet, 27:9. Perfume and incense bring joy to the heart, and the pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel. Proverbs is saying it's a joy to the heart to have a friend who is willing to take the time and interest in us to give such advice. It's a lovely thing. But also, later in our reading, you also get this picture of a sort of more bracing or challenging kind of relationship. At best, a kind of healthy clash of personalities and views. So 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And of course, as iron rubs together, some splinters fire off. It's a good bracing, challenging kind of relationship. And a good friendship, I would suggest, should have both the reassuring counsel and also the bracing counsel. An older Christian friend of mine models this to me very well. I see him probably once every sort of 6 months or so. But when we meet, it's quite amazing his focus on asking me questions. In fact, sort of feel a bit bombarded, actually, at times. But there is a genuine interest in my welfare. And it is married up with counsel that is both affirming and challenging. And spending time with this guy is always a reminder to me and a challenge to me. Am I like that with other people? Am I really good at asking the questions, at taking an interest? Or do I just sort of go on about myself, rabbit on about me, rather than taking a genuine interest in the other person? A good friend is genuinely interested. And fourthly, empathic. So from our reading, we read, if a man loudly blesses his neighbour early in the morning, it will be taken as a curse. Well, there are a number of proverbs like this one that remind us of the importance of respect for another person's feelings. So being hearty at the wrong time is unwelcome. So a good friend, you see, doesn't just treat his friends in a sort of careless way or trade on their affection. No, he has tact. He has empathy. You see, we can't just take friends for granted like this. It could damage the relationship. So Proverbs 25:17 says this, seldom set foot in your neighbor's house, too much of you, and he will hate you. It's just good wisdom, isn't it? Don't outstay your welcome, or try to sort of force your friendship on someone. No, we should have empathy. Put yourself in the other person's shoes, and a bit of tact is needed. Well, there's four things so far that I think sum up Proverbs' teaching on friendship. Faithful, real, interested, and empathic. And just think about them all. For a moment. They're all characteristics, aren't they, that are very much other person-centred, aren't they? Good friendship, it seems to be saying, is about giving of yourself to others, even to the point of sacrifice. It's sacrificial, do you see? If you want another biblical picture of such friendship, well, look no further than Jesus Christ himself. And in particular, how he was a friend to his disciples and even to those who hated him and were not great friends back. It should be no surprise that Jesus is the perfect model of friendship. We saw 3 weeks back, I think it was, that Christ is wisdom personified. So therefore, if you hold the whole Bible together, he is likely to be good friendship personified. Just think about him. He was faithful. He is faithful. He was real, willing to rebuke. He was truly interested in people, wasn't he? And he was fully empathic. He was tempted in every way, just as we are, but without sin. Preparing this talk, I was surprised. I did a little search using the computer at how often Jesus calls people friend or friends in the Gospels. Quite surprising. The most famous time, however, is John chapter 15. No need to turn it up, but Jesus says this, you remember famously, "Greater love has no man than this, than he lay down his life for his friends." And then he says to his disciples, "You are my friends." And of course, he is about to lay down his life for them. He says, doesn't he, "I no longer call you servants, but have called you friends." And wonderfully, friends, this morning, at the heart of the Christian good news is that if we turn back to God through Jesus Christ, then Jesus promises to be not just our Lord, as he is, not just our Saviour, but our friend as well. He was known in his lifetime as the friend of sinners. That was a term of abuse, actually. But it is great news, a friend of sinners. We may have ropey friends. We may have disappointing friends. We may be a disappointing friend ourselves to others. But the promise of the good news of the Christian gospel is that if we put ourselves in Jesus' hands, he will never let us down. He will be that good friend to us. John 6, he said, "Anyone who comes to me, I will never drive away." So Jesus then is wisdom personified, friendship personified. Well, there's our model in the first four letters for Proverbs, model of good friendship. But before we finish, we need to put this into practice for it to have any good in our lives. And that's what the two last letters, the R, the N and the D, are about. It's about how to choose friends and how to make sure that you are being a good friend to them. So the next one is intentional. And I couldn't find something beginning with N that fitted, so intentional. Proverbs recognises that there are a number of different ways that friendship arises. And it seems to me that it recognises the importance of close proximity to people. It's often the case, isn't it, that you become good friends through sharing lots of time together. And so in Proverbs, the neighbour can also be a good friend. So if you remember in our reading, in verse 10, it said this, "Do not go to your brother's house when disaster strikes you. Better a neighbor nearby than a brother far away." So it says something, doesn't it, about the importance of investing in those nearby to us. But it also adds that who you actually choose to spend time near is important. So there's an element of choice involved in who we spend time near with. And Proverbs says it pays to be wise in who we invest time with. So 12:26 says a righteous man is cautious in friendship. And he thinks about it carefully and is wise. You see, for example, there are warnings like this in 22:24. He says, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." Or 13, verse 20, which I put on the sheet. "He who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm." So it pays to choose wisely, to be intentional about our friendships. And we've got the model, haven't we, of what a good friend is like. It pays to invest in people whose characteristics are other person-centered like that. I told you a bit about my university experience, how I chose unwisely in those early days who I spent lots of time with. But God was very kind to me, because at the same time I had a college brother. That the system at my university was, they put you into sort of a college family. And so I had a college brother, Tim. I wasn't very nice to him. I think I've told you about that before. But eventually I realized that he was the real faithful friend. And he was the one that I should actually spend time with. And I'm so glad that I did. So glad that he was faithful. Because rather than lead me into trouble, he led me to Christ through being basically a faithful and true friend. And his little friendship was a picture, if you like, of what Christ was like. And it was deeply attractive and drew me to him. He who walks with the wise grows wise. That's true, though I learnt it the hard way in my experience. But then finally, on to the D, how to make sure that you are being a good friend. Well, D is for dedicated. So Proverbs 18:24, a man of many companions may come to ruin, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. There's a danger, you see, isn't there, of having lots of acquaintances, of having a big list of Facebook friends, but actually not allowing any of these people to become more than that. You know, just being a sort of networker, but not having real friends. Real friendship means being dedicated, you know, going a step further. And it's obvious, therefore, isn't it? You can't be dedicated to everyone. A man of many companions may come to ruin. There is an element of choice. And in being intentional, as we've seen. And once you have friends, it takes time, doesn't it, to put yourself out there for real friendship to develop. And so the challenge of Proverbs is, I guess, are we dedicated enough to allow those friendships to become good and deep? And if a friendship has begun, are we dedicated enough to keep it going through thick and thin? Because Proverbs warns us that friendship is vulnerable. Just a couple of verses. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse man stirs up dissension, and a gossip separates close friends. Or 17:9. He who covers over an offence promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. So even close friendships are vulnerable. Therefore, we need dedication. I've mentioned both C.S. Lewis and Tolkien in this talk, and for good reason, because they were guys who really valued true friendship. They were good friends themselves. Lewis credits Tolkien with bringing him to Christ, with being the key friend that brought that about. Tolkien, on the other hand, knew Lewis as a dedicated friend and said this about him. He said, "The unpayable debt that I owe to him was not influence, as is ordinarily understood, but sheer encouragement." And he said, "He was for a long time my only audience. Only from him did I ever get the idea that my stuff, my writing, could be more than a private hobby. But for his interest and unceasing eagerness for more, I should never have brought The Lord of the Rings to a conclusion." So The Lord of the Rings really did spring out of a true friendship, a dedicated friendship. Faithful, real, interested, empathic, intentional, and dedicated. It's a lovely picture, isn't it, of good friendship. And my aim really this morning is I just hope that you find this persuasive and attractive, and you see the value, and I see the value of investing in good friends. It's not just from the book of Proverbs, but Jesus Christ himself, who ultimately personifies friendship to us. And he is great news, actually, because if we're feeling incapable of being like this to others, well, he has been like this to us, and he is the one who enables us. If we have that security of him as our true friend, well, he gives us the power to then reach out to others. And it will be worth it for their sake and for our sake. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great picture of friendship. Thank you that it is a great gift. Lord, you know all of our experiences, whether we have great friends, whether we could do a lot better in loving our friends, or whether we're feeling really lonely. Lord, wherever we are, I pray that these things here will be a help. And ultimately, that through Jesus Christ, your Son, we will know true friendship with you. We ask it in his name. Amen.